today on the Friday Fix. Well, if valuations stay as low as they are, companies are going to get taken over. So are retail investors important? Yes, definitely. You just have to look at how popular the bulletin boards are.
Welcome to Powers Court's latest edition of this Friday Fix podcast. I'm Nick Dibden, and today I'm delighted to be joined by Jamie Constable, market strategist at Singer Capital Markets. So we've talked on numerous occasions about some of the challenges that smaller companies are facing in the current environment. I'd like to explore this a little further over the next 10 minutes or so. I think we can start with a very topical subject matter, the de-equitization of the market. You talked earlier about the fact that 117 companies have come off the market last year. I'm wondering if some of what we're seeing at the small end of the market is due to an absence of sufficient published analyst research to inform investors about whichever company it might be, or is it simply the case that smaller companies are getting cheaper?
Well, they're certainly getting cheaper. I mean, we've done some work on that. And I mean, if you get down to sub-100 million pound companies, somewhere near 40% of those with forecasts are on P's of less than 10. Between 200 and 700 million, you're talking about 30% of companies on a sub-10 PE. So you can't be surprised that these companies have been taken over. It's been going on for years in the States. That's now come to the UK as well. So you add that up, and as you said, 117 companies taken over last year, seeing companies disappear already this year. I mean, 117 is two a week. I mean, it's a huge number. So value is being seen by aggressors.
How does that compare with, let's say, 2 to 3 years ago in terms of the valuations and why they're getting so cheap now?
I think valuations have come back. I think your point about the lack of research is a very fair one. Since MiFID, we've seen the amount of coverage of companies fall. Well, what companies have done, you know, you've seen people appointing joint brokers, so they at least they have two people covering them. But the smaller you go, the less coverage there is. And that is a problem. And it's something, obviously, the government are looking at closely. They're looking at how they can promote that. Yeah. For private investors, it's hard to get numbers to see what they're looking at. And private investors are important to the market.
Yeah, well, I'll come on to that in a moment. In terms of this sort of de-equitization that we're seeing, do you think that's going to become an increasing trend over the next 6 to 12 months? It was rife last year. We've seen plenty of it already this year. I mean, it's not where we want to be going. Obviously, we want to see some growth. We want to see IPOs returning. But do you see in the near term that the de-equitization continuing?
Well, if valuations stay as low as they are, companies are going to get taken over. If business confidence picks up, and if you look at the UK at the moment, you've got a PMI services of 54.3, which is indicative of quite good business confidence, then we will see corporate takeovers picking up as well. A lot of the ones to date have been private equity taking companies out. There's more company for company coming through now. As companies get more confident, they'll look at doing company for company takeovers. So valuations stay where they are, yes. What we need to see then on the flip side of that, we need to see IPOs coming through. And I think fund managers are looking for new IPOs. They're looking for new ideas to invest in. It's certainly what we're hearing at Singers, bring us good new companies to invest because we've lost 117.
And is that any particular sector or sector agnostic?
I think it's generally sector agnostic, but particularly we've been positive on you from Q3, end of Q3 last year, very positive on UK domestics, which had a great Q4 and a pause for breath in Q1. But if you look in our end of the market, which is UK mid and small caps, there's a shortage of retail and leisure companies to invest in. There's companies that have been there for years, but we need new companies coming to market to provide that choice and healthiness, I suppose, to the equity market looking forward.
Yeah, okay. How can smaller companies balance the demand for ESG data, reporting and communications from investors and stakeholders with the high resources needed to produce them? Big companies, as we know, have entire teams writing sustainability reports, submitting ESG data to analysts and investors. So how can smaller firms with fewer resources compete?
I think what's key here is, and part of my career was a fund manager, it's all very well. You get the slide pack, don't you, with the presentations in, the pages in, and you get to the ESG slide, and generally the CFO will come up and say, we've done this, we've met this, and we've done this. And there might be some policies they're following internally as well, charity, et cetera, and that. I think for a fund manager sitting the other side of the table, it's making it relevant to them. Relevant to them, so example could be, we did this, and what this gave us a competitive advantage, so we won this bid with this company, because the larger companies first have got to have full traceability, haven't they, I think, through their supply chain.
Yeah.
So if you don't tick the boxes and meet the standards, you're not even going to be on the tender list or the contract list. So I think for how they make it relevant and interesting and also improve their investment case in front of a fund manager to say, we did this. The result of that was we went into this tender and we won the contract because we'd done this and we showed what it, this is the benefits it's bringing into our business by doing this. And then, of course, it makes it much more interesting for the fund manager rather than just reading off a list of tick box kind of, we've done this, we've done. Because as a fund manager, you expect people to have done it. Because if they haven't done it, you're probably going to have their ESG department within the fund manager saying you can't invest. So it's making it relevant to them. Why are you a better investment because you've done this?
When you touched upon sort of the importance of retail shareholders, can you say how the balance has shifted in recent years in terms of that importance for smaller companies? Or is it still at the margins?
Mm.
Does it make a difference to the liquidity? Does it help support companies' share prices if institutions are bailing out? I suppose it's part of a bigger question on how significant a role do retail investors play today versus 2 to 3 years ago in supporting small cap companies?
The role of retail investors has definitely increased, if anything. If I look at our market makers, we're doing pretty much 10% of AUM in terms of trade nowadays, singers. Then they can really move prices, the small investors, because at that smaller end where the liquidity is less, they will come in and they can move a price in a day. You suddenly see it up 10, 15%, particularly on those micro caps. So are retail investors important? Yes, definitely. Because if you're a market maker, then you see the price move by that. You just have to look at how popular the bulletin boards are now. Mm. And there's quite a lot of businesses out there now providing advice. If you go on Twitter, there's podcasts. So I think it is a increasing part of the market. I think what's happened is that investors become more knowledgeable. They're happier to invest their own money rather than giving it to, dare I say, a fund manager to invest their money. So they're starting to invest their own money. And by doing that, they're more learned about the market. And I think that's good for the healthiness of the market because you need that breadth and you need that liquidity. It helps to provide liquidity in a share. And that's what's important because it doesn't matter whether you're a retail investor or an institutional investor. If you want to get equity, you need to have liquidity to be able to buy it. It's the worst thing in the world, thinking back to when I was that fund manager. You go out and you see a great company and you go on and say, I'd like to buy it, and you can't buy a stock for love nor money. There's no liquidity in their share. So liquidity is very important. And to the extent that retail investors help increase that liquidity, that's very good news.
Lastly, in your opinion, where do you think small cap companies fall down in their communications with investors?
That's a difficult one. I don't want to upset any of my small cap companies, honestly. Where do they fall down? I think what an fund manager wants to see, he wants to read a result or an announcement and not have to kind of read between the lines, as it were, and try and find something different. Or so it's kind of giving the information a fund manager would like to see. So whether it's like for likes, whether it's the comparatives, you know, putting it in front of people and making it easy for them to invest. And that's true for good and for bad. You don't always have a good statement to put out. Putting it there, I think the worst thing you can do is to hide stuff, because let's be honest, it's going to come out in the end anyway. Put it out there. Talk about it, give the information there. So the fund manager or the retail investor, as it were, has got the information in front of them so they don't have to go and delve somewhere else to see it and whatever. You don't want 100-page statements, obviously.
No.
But it's being truthful, honest.
And transparent.
And transparent. Exactly that. If you hide it, it's going to come back to haunt you, because at the end of the day, people remember the bad ones much more than they probably remember the good ones.
Yeah, great. I think that pretty much wraps up this podcast. Okay. Very interesting discussion, and just leaves me to say thank you very much for coming in, Jamie.